I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Real Salt Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
This Uinta Golf PGA Championship Update with Brian Taylor is brought to you by Mountainland Supply, Zions Bank, Hope's Vision, Siegfried & Jensen, and Black Desert Resort. And now, Real Golf Radio's Brian Taylor.
Yeah, I hit it really good. I would have liked to have a few more fall. Some of the closer looks that I had some really good looks today. But, on this golf course, I did about everything I could ask for on the first day. I made it relatively easy because of how good I hit it off the tee. And when I did get out of position, I missed it in the right areas to lay up like on five today in a position where I could still hit the green. So I played really solid, smart golf. It could have been better, but it also could have been worse. So I played really nicely, and I think it's a good start.
Little chunk of Brian Taylor speaking with Tony Finau, of course, and BT. We appreciate you joining us from Tulsa. And as things get going underway here, what are the takeaways from the first day here of the PGA Championships?
Yeah, thanks, guys. Good to be with you. This is a hard golf course. Most of the guys that I talked to said, "Wow, I don't know what Rory was doing out there, but it's a hard golf course. The wind has definitely picked up. It's been harder for the players this afternoon than it was this morning. Pretty nice conditions, a lot cooler this morning when the players were able to take advantage of it. So it flip flops tomorrow, and that's kind of how it works with the draws. You go either morning, you go early, late, or late early, and so the guys that are battling it out today, they'll turn around and get some nice conditions tomorrow morning. So the weather's going to continue to cool, and I think that'll help these players because it is hot. And I heard you guys talking about Tiger Woods. It was a struggle for him out there. Early, when I watched him come through this first, six, seven holes, I was actually impressed with the little step in his gait. I mean, he looked like the old Tiger a bit. There was still limp, but he looked like he was feeling good. And then you could tell it definitely wore on him. And afterwards in his interview, he wasn't feeling good and he wasn't happy.
Yeah, so is the weather going to – I mean, are you still going to have the wind when they flip-flop and the morning guys go out in the afternoon? Who's going to have the advantage, or is there going to be an advantage tomorrow?
Yeah, it's hard to say, really. I mean, you kind of don't know until you get here. The winds have – the forecast calls for winds, both days. But as I've been on the golf course all day today, you've had times when it was light winds. You've had times when it's been shifting winds and times when it's been quite gusty. So – that's a real challenge for the players around this golf course is the unpredictability of it. Not only the wind, but the rough as well. And, so how's your lie in the rough? Is it going to come out with a fly? Is it going to come out heavy? Is it dead? Spinny, that type of thing. And then what's the wind going to do for it? One of the players I talked to, Troy Merritt, he said, the wind never seemed to be down or right at us. It was always just a little across or straight across or quartering across, and that really keeps the players guessing and plays into the challenge of Southern Hills.
We were looking at the leaderboard and a four over for Tiger puts him in that bottom 100 plus, and obviously making the cut is an interesting thing for us because it's like it makes a weekend more interesting when Tiger's in any of these majors. But what's like a really good spot for somebody to be in? A guy like Tony Finau who finishes that first round one under, that's a solid start for him, tied for 15th. But where's a good place to be right now? Not even just to make the cut, but just to be like, hey, I'm in this thing and I'm right here with it.
Yeah, I think anybody that's within 7-8 shots, of the leader at any time is in good position, especially with, look, there's still three rounds to play. So you know, I would say guys even within 10 shots, you know, look, we saw what Rory was able to do. You're going to give some back, but you could take advantage of it. The players seem to think that the golf course is playing fair. The greens aren't overly fast, but just fast enough. The tour plays faster greens than this, but not where they're as undulating as these greens are. So you are seeing some players coming up, short with their putts because of the speeds are a little bit slower in order to hold them on the slopes and the wind. But, you know, again, the guys that kind of get the feel of that and know when their spot, you know, get in the right spot, like Tony talked about, where you can take advantage of it and be aggressive with your putts. You can go on some birdie runs. We saw Rory make four in a row. We've seen a couple other stretches where guys have gone out and made three, four out of five, that type of thing. So I think as long as you're within 7-8 shots right now, you're in pretty good position and plenty of holes still to be played. And again, it depends on what the PGA and Kerry Hague decide to do with the setup and where they put the pins, because, you know, they can make this thing as hard as they want. And if they don't want to have guys continue to stretch it out, which you probably won't see tomorrow so much, but, you know, come the weekend, it'll be interesting to see what they decide to do with it. But they could bring the numbers back just as simple as switching some pins.
Watching it today, it looked like from my vantage point that the bunkers were, I don't know, it seemed like they weren't, a lot of the players weren't really comfortable. You saw some kind of funny shots coming out of the bunkers. Am I imagining things, or is there an issue with the bunkers?
Yeah, really good observation. Tiger even pointed that out specifically, that, you know, he struggled out of the sand, whether it was a rake area. He had to guess. So his comment was he had to guess out of the sand. Normally, these guys play under such perfect conditions and consistently perfect conditions week in and week out that when they have to guess, it puts them in a situation like a lot of us when we go out and play. We're not quite sure, right? And that's really, you know, when as a golfer, as long as you are confident about how something's going to go, you can control it. It's the indecisiveness that makes it very difficult. And I think that's what Tiger realizes. It's like, okay, this feels like it's a little fluffy, and so I'm gonna have to get after it. And it actually hits firm, and it makes you look a little bit silly, or you think it's going to be firm, and so you try to baby it a little bit, and it comes out soft, and again, makes you look a little silly. So the sand is definitely something that has, at least for Tiger, was inconsistent, and I think you've seen that with some of the other players as well.
It's funny because we can hear the wind on your phone, and then we're watching the flags on TV too, and the flags and your phone look and sound the exact same. It's like, my heavens, this is not, you know, for a major is going to be tough, you know, but to have this kind of wind and the heat on top of it, all these different things, these golfers have got quite the uphill battle here, and we're just day one. Your two favorites, John Rahm and Scottie Scheffler, those are the guys that had the best odds for this thing, and they're both struggling going in. Scheffler's at even par, and then John Rahm's two over.
Yeah, that was a little surprising. I just watched them come through here on 14. I'm literally just sitting off of the 16th fairway right now. I'm kind of in a sheltered place, by the way, so sorry for the wind.
No.
Probably
part of the deal. It's like when you call the Weather Channel guys, you don't want them standing in beautiful weather. I want them in the hurricane.
or the guy that's in the war zone. We want to hear the bombs going off.
Yes, come on.
Did you at least hear the applause? Guy hit a little approach shot at 16 when I was talking. I got a little applause out there, so I was hoping you got some of that ambient. I felt like this golf course is tailor-made for Rahm. I was a little surprised to see that he's kind of struggling out the gate. But, look, he's still got time. Rahm's got a ton of firepower. And Scheffler, you know, he missed a little bunny early, and that can play with your confidence a little bit. So, but both those guys, really great players. I would expect them to kind of right the ship. And by the way, Scheffler sitting at even par is just fine, right? I mean, that's well inside that 7-8 shot spread that we were just talking about earlier. You know, he's currently, you know, five back and still some holes to go. So you can shoot yourself out of it. You're not going to win it on the first day. You can certainly shoot yourself out of it on the first day, but neither of those guys are anywhere near that at the moment.
Dave Stockton said that Phil Mickelson was not missed at the PGA Championship dinner. Mm. What's been the vibe or feeling about Phil Mickelson?
I'm kind of surprised to hear him say that, although I know, Dave's a friend of ours. He's come on the show a lot over the years, especially around Ryder Cup time. He's very passionate about the Ryder Cup. He's very passionate about America. So he probably has some pretty strong feelings that way. Plus, he was back in the era that was just coming off of the new start of PGA Tour. Mm-hmm. You know, Jack and Arnie in the late 60s you know, helped develop the PGA Tour, breaking it off from the PGA of America. And Dave Stockton was, you know, not far behind that generation. So, you know, he probably does have some strong feelings about what it feels like, a little treasonous act that was still trying to architect a rival league. But, yeah, I mean, around here, to be honest, it's even as we were in the press building today, I asked several people, one of my friends from the BBC, who's going to be at that first live event in London coming up in a couple of weeks. And everybody has still more questions than answers. It's still not really sure exactly, but the feeling is that, you know, Norman with his vendetta against the PGA Tour and the PGA Tour's similar feeling about Greg Norman, it was just the wrong guy. And wouldn't be surprised if they oust that guy. I guess one of the main people, you know, I read a quick headline, didn't read the story, but one of the main guys with Liv actually left. And so it'll be interesting to see where it all shakes out. But the real feeling is that the fact that they want to actually take over the PGA Tour is the difference between a lot of the other events that just want to have an event associated with the PGA and the European Tours. And this one, they're coming right after them, trying to take out from underneath them. And that's just not sitting well with folks. And obviously, guys like Dave Stockton.
Right. The political side of it has worked its way into the game. And then here we are in the middle of a major championship. So, of course, that becomes a storyline, too. So, Brian Taylor, BT, we appreciate you coming on the program. Real Golf Radio every Saturday right here on the Zone Sports Network. You can hear them this week. You heard a chunk of that conversation that you had with Tony Finau. But there's going to be so much more. So, we're looking forward to it. And appreciate you joining the program.
Guys, it's a pleasure to be with you as always. And hope you enjoy the rest of this first round. And on to the weekend. I'm sure, you know, this is such a great golf course. I think it's going to produce a nice finish for us. We've got some good players up there.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.